Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of The Laws of Material Wealth and the Renford books. And tonight we're going to be talking with Wayne Booker. Wayne is a two-time Hall of Fame winner, and we're going to be talking about his work in Memphis, Tennessee, especially with young people in youth. So we're looking forward to that. If you are listening to the show or if you have friends who would like to listen to the show and you can't get to a computer or not online, just call in and have them call in on 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you'd like to ask a question of Mr. Booker or myself, just press the one button on your touch-tone dial, and that will flag our moderator this evening, Rhonda Harrison, out of Freely, Colorado. She will take your call and make sure that that you get your question to Mr. Booker. As usually, we're doing the Renford Revelations blog first, and then we'll move directly into the interview. This blog, of course, like all the rest, will be posted at iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org/blog. iam-cor.org is the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. There are three free ebooks you can download. You can view the courses in the three degree levels of study, read those, visit the bookstore, whatever you would like on there, and get any information you would like. If you would like to respond to any of the blogs that are up there, the Renford Revelation blogs, then by all means do so. We would welcome you doing just that. Tonight's Renford Revelation is called The Heart of the Ancient Teachings. In the early 90s, I established the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, which is my primary effort. My books and other selected books are the text for each course that makes up the three degree levels of the Institute. I have 15 books in print and three at various stages of development. There are CDs and PowerPoint presentations and three workbooks that can go with the books. There are a number of additional texts by other authors also utilized in each level of the program. This is a comprehensive program centered upon the process of identifying and verifying the 13 universal laws or principles of success from personal life experiences. I don't question my students about their religious affiliations because if they know where to look, they can find the stated principles or universal laws in each of them. The first level of study almost exclusively deals with the universal laws and a process of coming to know ourself by identifying and verifying these laws in our life experiences. This is the cornerstone of my teaching, that it's not based on any one religious discipline. In fact, anyone may use this process even if they are a bit anti-organized religion. For this reason, I've been able to work with many groups as long as they're not selling fear with some form of duality. Among Christian churches, I've been able to work with the Unity Movement because the founders of Unity, the Fillmores, and one of the authors most used by Unity, Emily Cady, identified and verified the 13 universal laws. The Unity Movement now puts forward five affirmations they call the Unity Principles, but Fillmore and Cady identified and explained 13, which correspond to the 13 universal principles I write about. The most important principle Unity teaches is oneness, which denies the duality of most religions, and there is no fear-based doctrine to be found. I don't put forward a creed or set dogma that has to be followed by all students and associates, but I do have a process of involving conscious identification and verification of universal laws from their life experiences. The process involves three types of meditation and self-observation until the intuitive, the inner being, takes over. It is the movement from the exoteric to the esoteric, the mind of Buddha to the heart of Buddha. I am not the only one to explore this avenue. Charles Hanel, Aldous Huxley, Charles Fillmore, Emily Cady, Edgar Cayce, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, Og Mandino, and Dan Millman are just a few who have identified and verified the universal laws and written about them. I have identified the universal laws in the Dhammapada of Buddha, the Tao Te Ching of Lao Tzu, the Bhagavad Gita, and the teachings of Jesus and the Gospels. Hardly any statement by any of these teachers was about anything other than the universal laws. I have recorded the quotes of each master pertaining to each of these laws. This is the subject of my studies, meditation, and writings of the past 35 years. This is where the focus has been and the basis of the development of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. They are not billions, millions, thousands, or even hundreds of primary physical laws or laws of physics. Even Stephen Hawking suggests that there are less than 15 primary physical laws. I suggest there are only 13 because each of the primary physical laws come from a universal law. The correlation between physical laws and the universal laws is often explained using the law of gravity as an example. The universal laws exist in the unmanifested universe and in everything in the manifested world. The law of gravity manifests in the physical world. The universal laws that the physical law of gravity relates to is the universal law of attraction. We must come into harmony with the law of gravity or suffer pain and death. We either come into harmony with the universal laws or we don't. And if we don't, it will be to our detriment. Gravity is different on every planet. The universal laws are invariant. The universal laws are present in everything and knowable by everyone. For human beings, the universal laws are abstracts, like the word truth, beauty, and goodness. We can only explain these abstract concepts by mentally bringing them down to our level by some form of association. We have to bring them by attaching to them a physical thing for an explanation. We can say this is a true statement. We can say this is a beautiful woman. Maybe the show the correlation by saying this is a good man. We must attach something physical in order to explain these abstracts in the physical world. The universal laws are abstract, but can be understood by relating them to events in our lives that we can understand on a cognitive basis. This is comparable to attaching something physical to the word beauty in order to explain it. Once we understand them by relating to them, we have let the conscious mind go and let the intuitive take over. Students learn in my classes how to recognize common cliches as having been derived from some understanding of the universal laws. I know that we already know the universal laws in a sense from common human understanding, but frequently in a perverse and unclear way. I draw comparisons between common cliches and the physical laws as an example of how there are differences in physical laws and the universal laws. I then show that both are derived from a universal law. We say birds of a feather flock together. On the street level, this statement correlates to the law of physics we refer to as gravity. On the universal law level, it is the law of attraction. Another example is the universal law of balance and equalization. On the street level, we say what goes around comes around. In the physical laws, we recognize this may be referred to as the law of cycles. The underlying principle is the universal law of balance and equalization, or what we sometimes call karma. These are not technical, doctrinal, legalistic, or theological questions based only in the conscious mind. This is basic to a process of understanding oneself. It is the only way we can begin to understand something of the concept of God or universal being, because we can come to know something of the essence in the universal laws. If we can understand ourselves in relation to these laws, we have a path to full understanding. This is bringing the abstract to the physical so we can relate. When we can identify and verify each of the universal laws from our life experiences, we move from a position of tradition and blind faith to one of knowing, a place of oneness with heaven and earth. and that is my Renford Revelation for this evening. My guest is Wayne Booker, and as mentioned, he is a two-time Hall of Fame winner. Let me give you a little information on him, and we'll get right to the questions. Wayne is employed by the Shelby County School Gang Awareness and Intervention as a special project coordinator. He has worked diligently for over 29 years with Federal Express of Memphis, Tennessee. Wayne is an active member of Prince Hall Mason and the Distinguished Men of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, Incorporated. Wayne is a member of the Elite Athletic Hall of Fame at in Inawamba Community College in Fulton, Mississippi, and Southeastern Louisiana University in Hammonds, Louisiana. Wayne is the author and publisher of two-time Hall of Fame, an autobiography of his life and challenges as a young black athlete. He has served on the Southeastern Louisiana University Alumni Board of Directors. He's also an athletic mentor for high school and college students pursuing scholarships and college degrees. Wayne's faith-based background led him to First Baptist Church Broad, where he serves as a deacon and arm bearer. Wayne is the husband of Gwendolyn Buford Booker and the proud father of two daughters, Mallory and Chelsea. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Thank you. Glad to have me.
It's very good to have you. Being a Hall of Fame designation in one school or in one sport in one place is something else, but being named twice is exceptional.
Yes, it is. It's a blessing.
And I understand that it didn't come easy to you. A lot of people are so gifted athletically that they kind of fall into it, but you had to kind of work at it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I got cut several times. I only played 1 year high school ball, and so never thought about going to college, and just had to put a lot of work in. And it was something like, you know, throwing the towel in, not no suicide throwing the towel in, but just throwing the towel in, saying that, hey, just forget playing basketball, but hey, I kept pushing and kept going at it. And then coach picked me up out of PE class, and I played that 1 year high school ball.
And were you playing in basketball in high school in Memphis?
Memphis, Tennessee, at Kingsbury High School in 1978. My coach was Coach Chick Newt, and I was in the PE class, Miss Kate Winters, and he came in and got me out of there and asked me what I would like to play, and I somewhat kind of said no, but I said no my junior year because I had been cut so many times. So I went on out there my senior year, and I played, and that's how I ended up going to college because I never thought about going to college.
Yeah. Well, I can remember, I'm a good deal, I think, older than you are, but I can remember watching Itawamba play because we, as a child, I lived in Fulton, Mississippi.
Okay, good.
And they,
so you
and
know
they
about
used
the
to be, time. Yeah, they used to be, it was very competitive, playing against Northeast Mississippi Junior College in Boonville, Mississippi. They played Freed Army University and quite a few others at that time, Freed Army College.
Okay.
So I've watched a lot of the games down there when I was young, and that was a tough match. They had to, you know, you had to be very, it's very competitive.
Right. Well, Northeast and Boonville was our rival. Northeast and Northwest, and then Senatobia was our rival team.
Yeah.
So we played them pretty tough.
Yeah. And but you didn't turn to coaching, I take it. You kind of moved in a different direction.
Well, actually, I did start coaching after I had finished college. I did some volunteer work in coaching, and I coached several high school and middle school boys and girls as well in high school. And we won a state in 91 at Kingsbury High School. We went 38-1. But I just did that as volunteer. And then I was the head coach when I was working in the school system as well. But it was just a lot of time consuming. So I decided to do mentoring. I do a showcase every year at Southwind High School, and I invite all the high school seniors in Memphis, and pretty much the word got out that I give a showcase all the time. So I have kids coming from Mississippi, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia, Chicago. They come from all over just to come participate, and they play 5-on-5. I have referees, and we don't charge a kid at all. and that's a way of giving back, and they get a full ride scholarship, whatever the school allowed them to get.
Now, your, we'll say, advocation is now really touring and talking to kids and working with the schools across the board, anybody who wants you to come, right?
Right, right. We work in the Shepherd County school system, and what we do, I work with the gang on the call, our special project coordinator, gang intervention. And what we do, we go around all the school, K through 12, we monitor kids, what they wear, and talk to the kids about not joining gangs, and if they're in a gang, try to get them out and try to change their lifestyle and try to get them somewhere to finish school mainly. If you can finish school, then we'll try to get them to go to college. If we can get them to go to college, we will. If not, we'll try to get them to get a trade or something, go to military or something. We want them to be a productive citizen.
I've come across a number of organizations that have been formed in the Memphis area trying to work with youth. In fact, we've had Liddell Beeman on the show talking about Healing the Hood and other organizations. Are you cooperating with these groups as well?
I know Liddell Beeman real well. Actually, he and I have worked several projects together. So, yes, I know him real well. They're doing a good job.
Now, you ventured into something that a lot of coaches and people doing what you do don't do, and that is you wrote a book. Tell us about the book.
Well, my book is about my life story. I never thought about going to college and wanted to play basketball, but I'm thinking I was going to be good enough just to go from high school to pro, and most kids do it during that time. And so I went to Shawnee Elementary. We didn't have a team during the elementary time, so I played community center ball. I went to Cypress Junior High. I did make the seventh grade basketball team, and I started. Then I played on the eighth grade team at Cypress Junior High. I played for Coach Harris in the seventh grade and started. In the eighth grade, I played for Coach Brogan and started. But then when I got to the ninth grade, it was still junior high at that time. And Coach Lacy, he cut me. And I didn't understand that because I made the seventh grade team and started in the eighth grade team and started. And then he cut me in the ninth grade. And I said, oh, well, I got cut. So now it's time to go to the high school, which was Douglas High School. And I went to Douglas, and Coach Jake Peacock cut me as well. And I said, wow, that's two times in a row getting cut. So I got discouraged, and so I started playing for my best friend, Tim Bowers. His dad was named Joseph Norman, and he had a little community center team. So some of my friends and I in the neighborhood, we played for him, going around all the community center, all around the city and playing. So I got comfortable playing the community center ball. So then it was time to go to Douglas in the 10th grade when I got cut. So I said, well, I'm going to go to Kingsbury, where I belong, because during that time it was called busing. And so I went to Kingsbury my junior year, and Coach Newt found out that I played basketball, and he asked me to come out. But I caught that yellow bus and went on home. I said, no, y'all done hurt my feelings too many times, so I'm not going to go out there. So then
cut me once too many.
Yeah, they cut me one too many times, so I didn't go out to my junior year. So finally my senior year came around. They asked me one more time. He came and got me out of PE class. I was in I never forget this. I was in Miss K. Warner's class, and Coach Dew asked me, he said, you want to come out again? And I said, I will this time. I come out. So I went out there and tried out for the team, and I made Kingsbury High School team 1978. And that's when my life just done a complete 360. And after the season over, I started every game. But after the season over, they have a banquet, and I was the most improved player. So I was used to getting MVPs from the community center, but it's a different league then from community center ball playing high school ball, because everybody was pretty good on the high school team. So I'm playing ball, and after the banquet's over with, I get the most improved. And then all of a sudden, I didn't know there was scouts looking at you while you're playing ball. And Coach Wayne Newsom from Itawamba Community College, he spotted me in several other schools as well. And he asked me, would I like to come down and visit? And I said, sure. So my teammate, Wiley Jefferson, and I, we went down to Itawamba Community College. Coach Newsom took us down there, and we visited and played. I liked Itawamba. Wiley said, well, I'm not sure, Coach. I think I'm going to go to Jackson State and Jackson, Tennessee. So Wiley went to Jackson State and Jackson, Tennessee, and I went to Itawamba Community College. And then I played there 2 years, and I didn't have no idea about college because I never thought about going to college. So Coach Newt was telling me some things. Then Coach Newsom showed me some things and told me some things, what it takes to be a college player. So I worked my tail off to play ball, and I ended up being pretty much MVP 2 years down there, and All-American, and All-State, All-Regional. I was MVP of the All-Star game for my sophomore year. And also I ran track 1 year and went to the state in track down in junior college, ran my first freshman year. So after I left Itawamba Community College from playing, I had to go to a major school then. That's when Coach Ken Fortenberry from Southeastern Louisiana University spotted me. And I signed with them 2 years. And I was MVP down there 2 years, and I was co-MVP 1 year with my son, Jerry Kelly. So I was 5 years in a row MVP, and then I was selected as a free agent to go to Atlanta Hawks. And tomorrow will be the draft day, and it just brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. I said, wow. I said, but I made it, though, but I didn't get drafted. And that's my message about the book, try to tell a kid. I did all that basketball, didn't finish school, so I had to go back and finish school to get my degree. And I tried out with the Hawks. My roommate was Mike Anderson, who was the head coach of Arkansas Razorback today, the boys basketball coach. Mike Anderson, that was my roommate. We was in out there in L.A. We were playing for Atlanta Hawks in 1982 in the summer league. And we didn't make it, so he went on to coach, and I come back to Memphis. And my coach, Coach Fortenberry, said, hey, you need to get on back down here and finish school. You came too close. So I went back down and finished up. And that's when I finished, and my life started turning around. I got my degree, and I was already working with kids. And so I get this phone call, 2005 and 2008, from Itawamba Community College in Southeastern Louisiana University. And now I'm in both school Hall of Fame. So I know a lot of people be saying now, I never heard of Southeastern Louisiana. But if they look at Good Morning America, the young lady on there, Robin Robert, she and I went to college together at Southeastern Louisiana University.
Well, this is this is really a great example of not quitting. Even though you were pretty
right.
disgusted and wanted to quit, just staying with it. This is really the fact is that you're not beat till you give up.
Correct. And that's what makes me do what I do today. Every year I have kids. And I'm not saying all the kids are going to get scholarships, but they will have opportunity to get one. And I push them and I tell them, these are the things you got to do. First of all, you got to hit them books. Don't do like I did. Play ball, forget the books. So you got to hit the books first. You got grades. And then if you have grades and you come to the gym, we're going to work you out and we're going to try to help you get a scholarship. If not, if you need help, try to get you in a school, trade school, military or something, we're going to try to help you do something.
Now, if there are any young people listening to this, or if you have a business and you're having problems with that business, you listen to what Wayne is saying. I mean, he's been cut and cut and cut and still, because he didn't quit, ends up with it as a two-time Hall of Famer. So this is a really good example. Now, when you started right up, let's take a moment. If you would like to talk to or ask a question of Wayne Booker, just call 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. Press the 1 button on your touchtone dial, and that will flag Rhonda to bring you in to ask your question. So don't forget that, and you can do that anytime. Just 347-838-9142. Now, Wayne, could you give the listeners an idea of how to get in touch with you, how to get your book, how to find out about your life and I think you are available for speaking engagements and so forth as well. So go ahead and take this advertising time. Take this shot.
Okay. All right. Well, they can reach me on my email address, info@waynebooker.com, or they can go to my website, waynebooker.com. And that can reach me on both of them. You can email me, or you can go to my website as well.
Okay. And give us the website is waynebooker.com,
www.waynebooker.com. Yeah, website, waynebooker.com. Uh-huh, waynebooker.com is my website, and my email address is info@waynebooker.com.
info@waynebooker.com. All right, is there a phone number that you can be reached at, or
they
you prefer them to go that way?
They can reach me on my mobile number. Yeah, they can reach me on my mobile number, 901-649-2399.
Okay. One more time.
901-649-2399. And that's Wayne Booker.
Okay. Hope you've got that. And if anybody has missed it, you can always email me, IAMRenford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, at gmail.com. Now, these shows are all archived. So even if you've missed part of this show and you want to go back and pick up on that information, just go to www.blogtalkradio, B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, and then go over and scroll down in the archives. And this show should be, if you're doing it right after the show, it should be right at the top. But even if you come back in later another day, just scroll down till you come to the interview with Wayne Booker, and you can listen again, and you can and pull off the information that any of the contact information that you've heard already listed this evening. Now, Wayne, you took on a task. What made you think you could write a book?
Well,
when you write a book, you just start a business.
That's correct. Well, I'll tell you what. In church, of course, you know, most of the time, pastor preaching and you hearing his word and good Lord telling you something, you like, the pastor, I went several times. My pastor, Keith Norman, First Baptist on Broad, and several other pastors, they'd be saying, everybody has a story, and which is true. And I said, you know what?
Absolutely.
Everybody does have a story. And so I said, I'm going to put mine into writing. So I talked to the lady who edited my book, which was Cherie Williams, and she had written the book herself. And I said, I'd like for you to help me write this book. And she said, if you write it, I edit it. And so that's what I ended up doing. I got a young lady named Jackie West, to do the writing for me, and Cherie Will edited for me, and that's how I ended up writing the book. But I just think everybody has a story to help somebody.
Did you ever feel like cutting and quitting when you were writing that book? Was it anything like learning to play basketball?
totally different. Actually, it took me 2 years to write it because, you know, you start and you stop, you start and you stop, and you wonder if it's going to work and you wonder if it's not going to work. And when I finished, when I completed it, I had no idea that I was going to complete that book at that time. So I really just had no idea. So it wasn't about the money, because my book is only $10, but it's just the message I want to get out there to the kids. So I've been successful helping kids, getting them in college. So now I have college coaches call me from all over the state, different states, asking me about helping kids. Can I get them in college? So I have no problem with that. So I think it's a success.
Well, I agree with you that everybody's got a story. I think it's worthwhile to write your story, even if you don't think that it will be commercially viable, and even if don't think your grammar is good or your spelling or all that stuff, because that's all taken care of by your publisher anyway.
Correct.
But I think it's important to get that, to take the time to write your story, because it's very therapeutic. You know, I started writing originally basically because I was trying to tell my children, explain to my children why I did certain things. And it kind of grew from, and it grew from there to where I was spending a lot of time trying to communicate my understanding of certain things in the world, and certain enigmas.
Okay.
And that's how I got started. So we have formed, we've done a trademark registration called A Book in You, A-B-O-O-K, the letter N and the letter U, abookinyou.com.
Okay.
And it's specifically to work with folks who want to tell their story. And then if they want to do it, then we'll work with them on the process of getting that book into print. We kind of go through three phases where we take the first part and try to put them in the position of making informed decisions and know exactly what is involved and what costs are involved, and the fact that they if they are putting a book in, publishing a book that they think might have some commercial viability, that they've started a business and have to treat it that way and have to plan for it and budget for it and so forth. So I think that's great that you discovered that for yourself. And have you been able to assist other people who want to do that?
Yes, I have had some people who thought they couldn't write the book, and then once somebody see you do something there to give them some encouragement, say, hey, if he or she can do it, I think I can do it as well. And I try to give them some advice, and I try to tell them some, give them some encouragement, say, hey, you have a story, you have a great story. Go ahead, just put it down and write and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I counsel the people to get the message down there. Don't go getting all hung up on your grammar or where you think you've repeated yourself or any of the niceties of it, but that's not what your objective is. Your objective is to get your message there, get it down, get it on paper, share it, because that's where the value will be for you and for your reader. Where do you see yourself going from here, Wayne? What long-range objectives?
Well, my long-range objective is I want to do a play. I want my book to be a play, and also I want it to turn into a movie. I think more kids, when they see something like this with sports, you know, and see it turn out pretty good, I figure if I can get a play, and then I want to make sure I can get the play good, and then I want to also turn it into a movie.
Mm. Well, anybody talking to you about that?
Well, I talked to one guy about a movie, and, of course, you know, they talk about the dollar, so I'm just talking. But I had talked to two or three people about a play as well. So, and actually, I'll be speaking tomorrow with some kids who will be doing theater and different things like that at Mississippi Boulevard tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I'll be speaking to some kids there tomorrow, telling them the story about my life story about this book as well. So, and Miss Flo Roach, who was inviting me over there, she does plays and different things like that. So I'll be talking to her about it as well.
Now, you've had a career in the corporate world there. You've been working with FedEx for quite a long time. What do you do for them?
Well, now I work in logistics warehouse. I've been there 29 years now, going on 30. I used to drive for logistics, and I work offload, so now I work in the warehouse. Just keeping that, keeping the business, and try to get in for retirement. I can retire at the age 55. I'll be 55 in October, so I think I work a couple more years, have $2, $1 junior in college and one to be a freshman in college, so I think I'm about to work a couple more years.
Mm-hmm. And then with that retirement, then I take it, go on the road to talk to as many people about what as you are doing now as you possibly can.
Yes, sir. That's what I would love to do, be able to go to schools and high school, elementary, middle school, and high school, and some colleges, and talk to some kids. Because when I came out of high school or came out of college, I came out of high school in 78, when I come out of college, it was 82, and it was 15-round draft during that time. Now it's only 2-round draft, only the first round guaranteed. So my message to the kids is, unless you come out the first round, second round is a free agent. It's not guaranteed. So hopefully you're doing your work, your schoolwork, and try to get that piece of paper.
What is your message to? I mean, of course you can tell young people to buckle down and study, and you can tell them your things, but sometimes it's like they have to learn the hard way.
How do you work with them? Well, if most of the kids I work with, once I sit down and talk to them about, especially the athletes, I love working with the athletes. I work with the non-athletes as well. But if I got an athlete and I try to tell them, I said, look, I'm not saying you're not going to make it. I'm not saying it's not hard. It is hard and you can't make it. But just in case you don't make it, you got to have something to fall back on. And that's the main thing what I be pushing for them. I also have two guys I mentor who playing in the NFL go to my church. There's one play for Washington Redskins, Akeem Davis, and one played for Tampa Bay, Clint McDonald. And they go to my church. So those are two of the guys I take around with me when they come home during the off season to speak to the kids and let them know, hey, these are things that you have to do. So I know they probably say, you old guys, you don't know what you're talking about, but these two young guys can tell them some things too. But it's still the same regardless of what year it is. And it's the same thing my parents told me and grandparents told me. Education is the key.
Yeah. And when you can get another teenager who can also relate, that it's even more powerful, isn't it? Even if they have been there and done that, you know.
Yes, sir. And you got to tell them that you made mistakes. And I tell the kids all the time. In my book, I said when I was going to school, I had mom and dad. So there's no excuse saying that you was a single parent or not single parent. I did some wrong, you know. So you got to tell the kid you've done some wrong so they'll feel comfortable. So don't go in there thinking that you did all right. I didn't do all right, you know. That's why I try to tell the kids I did some wrong.
You know, the thing that is that you mentioned that is so powerful here is that, you know, there's something about being cut. It's like telling you you're not good enough, which is what it really is. It's telling you you're not good enough.
And you're right.
That's a bit hard to swallow. But unfortunately, a lot of people do swallow it and go on and live with that.
Right. And you know, this is what I tell most kids. I say it's just like picking a relationship, a male or female, or picking a job. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but how do you handle it? How do you bounce back?
Yeah.
You got to be able to bounce back. So if I can get them to get that schoolwork, I'm in good shape.
Yeah. I mean, because if you fold every time you're rejected, I mean, that makes it pretty tough in life. I mean, how are you going to even find the love of your life if you accept no and walk away, or if you accept the fact that you've been cut? And how did you deal with that? I mean, that's a lot of cutting.
And you're so right. Well, I had people, and that's what my book is about. You got to get around and surround some good people who's going to push you. I'm not saying all the kids that I was hanging with was bad, but I do know that I was hanging with a bad crowd. And that's what I got in my book. I had two sets of friends. I was hanging with the ones that didn't care, and I hung with the one who did care. But when I changed my life around, thank God I got with the crowd that cared about life and cared about school and wanted to be something and wanted to do something in life. So if I can get that boy or girl to change her life and say, hey, if you follow me this way here, I help you. It's easy, but you got to buy into the system. And so far, I've been successful in it.
Have you developed a camp, a period where they can, where they're getting both inspirational training and physical training and maybe mental training?
Well, I don't have time to do that camp. I would love to do it, but now I have done some one-on-one personal training because my daughter used to play basketball, and I have invited myself to help several kids. Most kids know that I play ball, and I would help them and show them a couple of things. I know a couple of personal trainers who work kids out, and now put that out to help them to get some personal trainer, you know, in different states.
Well, we've developed this program, the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. It sounds like it's all about money, you know, personal development, material wealth, and so forth. Sounds like it, but these are really dealing with 13 spiritual principles, the same spiritual principles of the masters, including Jesus. You know, in Matthew 13:35, he said, And I must say here that most ministers, they kind of talk about Jesus like he was dead man walking. You know, he just came down here to die. But the fact is, there in Matthew 13:35, he said, I came to reveal the secrets that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth. All right, that's a powerful thing. I came to reveal the secrets. And when his apostles asked him why he taught in parables, he said, I have to talk, basically, he said, I have to do this so they can relate to it. He said, to you, the mysteries have been revealed. In other words, he'd been teaching them. And in the same verse, it says, and he spake to them in parables, and without parables spake he not. So we take these little parables as if it's kind of like Sunday school pablum for children. But deep in those parables are these same universal principles that are being taught and done so that those people could relate to it. And so out of that, this program, there's been a workbook developed, and there's been four DVDs done, and also 54 weeks of support material that was sent by email, and then 54, that's how this show started, with 54 shows covering each one of those. And if there's things that we can do to help with developing your program, I think you're doing what has to be done, and it's important work, Wayne, and hope you will continue on it and develop programs that a broader number of young people can participate in.
Well, thank you, yeah. And that's one thing I believe in. I believe, hey, I tell the kids, go to church. I grew up in the church, and seeing some things during the family union, you know, make you just want to do right. To see all the family members getting an award, you sit up there saying, now what am I going to do with my life? So those are three things that we had to do in coming up in my household. You was going to go to church, you're going to go to school, and you're going to help somebody. So those are three things I believe in doing.
And when you're helping somebody, you really are you're really helping yourself. You're really learning in that process.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I think, you know, I've got in one of my writing, I have a 13 affirmations that go with this called the Renford affirmations that deal with each one of the universal laws. And one of the things I say in there is that it is one of the laws is the law of giving and receiving, that you have to give, you have to share. If you're not doing that, you're not opening it up. You're not opening up your own sphere to gain anything. You know, that's part of it's an inflow and outflow, and that when you do give something, you can give from your knowledge, you can give from your money, or you can give from your time. But basically, you're only giving love. That's all you were given.
Yes, sir.
And so whenever you help somebody or teach somebody or work with somebody, you're giving little packets of love. And when you think about God being love, it's like giving little packets of God. And to me, that's a profound fact. Whenever you're helping somebody in any form or fashion, you're giving little packets of God. So, what is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners tonight, Slee, or anything for you know that they can grab hold to for their benefit. Now, all of these people listening are not kids. They're business people, and some of them are struggling with their business.
Well, I
and the reason
like
why
that,
they got it.
Go ahead. I would just say keep the faith. And then that's when I autograph a book. I put on it now. I said keep the faith. And I know it'll work out. You just got to have the faith and go forward.
Well, that is pretty powerful in itself. I want to thank you for being with us tonight on the show. We're coming to you folks from Kansas City, Missouri tonight. I'm in on the road with speaking engagements. We'll be back in Memphis on Monday. And my moderator is coming to you from Greeley, Colorado. And my guest, Wayne Booker, is coming to you from Memphis, Tennessee. And I know it may sound like we're all sitting in the same room. It's part of modern technology that we're happy for. And we're happy to have you with us tonight, Wayne. In closing,
okay,
thank you. I would like to invite you to go to the www. IAM-COR.org that I've mentioned before, where you can view the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, download some free e-books there that are dealing with the universal principles. And also I want to invite you to go to youtube.com, and there we have six sections. You just type in Renford Broadcast Network, and when you do that, you will find the Bookman shows, and hopefully we'll have Wayne on the Bookman show here pretty soon. That's on Channel 17, Comcast Cable Network in Memphis, and then we put the shows up on YouTube. So that's the Bookman show. Comes to you at, if you're in the Memphis area and have Comcast, it comes to you at 9:30 on Saturday evenings. And I try to focus on Memphis authors as much as possible. In fact, we've established the I Am Creative Network, which promotes local authors, musicians, actors, writers in the Memphis area. And you can get to that by going to iamcreativenetwork.weebly.com. And also come back to this network. The Renford Broadcast Network is a YouTube. Radio by Renford is the Blog Talk. And you go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford and check out some of the guests that we've had on the show. You know, we have 11 hosts. In our network. This is the only show that I do now, but we have a host in New York, one in Boston, one in Denver, one in Seattle, one in the Netherlands, one in Little Rock, and the others are in the Memphis area. And these are all different genres, and we would like to invite you to go in and just check out some of those, as well as the YouTube site. The YouTube site has audio books. It has the Core Concepts Lecture Series. Core Concepts Lecture Series, we invite religious and spiritual leaders to come tell us what they believe, why they believe it, what they're doing about it, how they came to that belief, and as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? So we have a lot of material for you folks, and we'd like for you to come in and visit with us. Nobody is telling you to buy a prayer handkerchief. Nobody's in asking you to put up any money. Just come and see for yourself and see if we can in any way share a little packet of love and a little packet of God for you. All right? Thanks very much, everyone, for being with us tonight. Thanks again, Wayne, for being with us on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Good night, everyone.
All right. Woo.
I'm done. 9:20.
Oh, you got ready.
Well, I know I'm going to be sitting down and eat. And you can go online and. He got to be filled with rich, because he in Kansas City interviewing me and the other people with the thing is in Colorado. They go over 138 states, countries. He got to be filled with rich, making some money for to do all that. Oh, we eat that on the way home. I get hungry. I'm going to be eating them nuts on the way home. Get me water. You gave Ron some brown too. Yeah, he'd get some. Gonna be about to lose the game. And he'll just sit right there and eat right away. He won't wash his hand. I just that go. I told you, when I get to work, I take a wipe and wipe the computer, table. But he'll do that. I'm getting no bag with my water now.
Okay.
Oh, I got to call Miss Flo Rose back. She called when I was on the phone. I had two phone calls. Call him back over. That's it?
Yeah.
All right. That man right there, right? With a banana on it. Okay. I'll take this all out. He got a light on over there. Oh, boy. Yeah. This man right here, right? I'm going to put Roger back here. I know man with the banana anyway. I'm going to get my water bottle out. I got my key. Got my phone.
Yeah, I feel it. I don't know why I said I might be entertaining, you know.
My little brother asked Rodney that night. He said, well, you feel that way, man. You kind of hear things. He said, well, let me go and take some insurance out on you. Rodney said, no, I'm okay. He said, oh, okay, well, I thought so.
You want to drink some lemonade?
I already had some syrup. Boy, that thing's so sweet. You could put that water in there with it. Woo! It got the hype, though. Look, it had my hype. Because I turn the light on before you leave, go to bed now. Y'all want on that, do you? Okay.
I'm all right now. I didn't see my neck. I didn't see my neck. It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's,
The Take It Man.
Yeah. What's the name of it? Who? I don't know if I've seen them, but I've seen him in two movies. I can't remember. No, he played in another one. I ain't seen that one. It was another he played in then. Yeah, he bad boy. All right, I'll see y'all. That true story? Oh, tell me about that. Okay.